Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive, coming out of the high highs doing Ocean to City, a really beautiful dream pop indie rock song, and then Lunch Money before that, Snow Globe, which is children's music. And I have to say, I really, really would enjoy that if I was a parent and if I was a kid, but I can understand how maybe kids would find it to be almost too melancholy and too existential for a kid to love it.
Yeah, kind of above them conceptually, because they can't really look back on themselves and what their life is like.
Yeah.
And that's what this song is more about.
It's, you like, can't have nostalgia as a kid, right? Like, you're in the nostalgic.
It's happening, yeah. Just give me some juice, right?
Exactly. But I really like Lunch Money, and I would listen to that album, especially because the lyrics are so poetic. It almost reminds me of, like, Lilith Fair times, like these very artsy. I said Tori Amos because of the style, but something about that artsiness to the lyrics and the poetic nature of it.
And very innocent sounding too. The tone that she sings with is like, yeah, you can picture her voice coming out of a kid's like thoughts, right? But
yeah,
they're your projections of a kid's thoughts, really, because kids are just thinking about juice.
Yeah. So, what did you think of the High High song, Ocean to City?
I'd like you to describe it first, and I'll chime in on what I think.
Well, to me, it's a straight ahead pop song done by like an indie rock group, you know. It's dreamy in that it's romantic and there's a lot of longing in it. I like songs that have that. This person singing is in love with this other person, but only came to realize like how important they were when they weren't with them. And I think we all can relate to that emotion of, you know, having a crush maybe on somebody, or somebody you maybe dated or had a relationship with that's no longer around, but you still kind of long for them. Or you're in love with somebody and you take some time apart, even if it wasn't a breakup, but like somebody who you needed to be apart from, like different parts of your life, like long distance, where you almost like come to clarity when you're not around them. And the song has all of those emotions. And I pointed out to you one line in the song that really resonated with me was lonely in the simple life. I say so with a heavy heart, slide in the evening, running for miles to see it clear. In other words, like, he's thinking back, he's in a very simple time, he's very lonely, he doesn't have a lot going on. Maybe that's what he wished for, and now that he has it, he has a heavy heart thinking of what he's missing. So he says, slide in the evening, in other words, like, fast forward later in the night, I'm still running for miles to try and like see the clarity of something, of him missing this person. And, you know, stay with me, ocean to city, there's a world out there, you know, like, I feel like there's this sort of like, I've come to realize I need you and I want you to be with me from ocean to city. I think it's a very genuine way to express a fondness or a love for somebody.
Every few shows we do, you pick a song like this that has so much depth in the lyrics. And it surprises me, because when I hear them, I don't hear that. I don't hear the lyrics. I didn't get the lyrics on this one. And you say you were so enchanted by the song. And this is before I read your notes. I listened to the song. And I was like, yeah, this is a nice upbeat song. And I couldn't really make out the lyrics. And I'm always lyrics last.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to work really, after I read your notes, I was like, man, is that what that song's about? I had to really work to find the lyrics, first of all. They weren't on my streaming service, so I was like, God, I got to find out what's so enchanting here. And then listen to the song while reading along with the lyrics, because I kept missing the point, I think, that you pointed out. And the critical verses in the beginning, it kind of sets the whole tone of the song, where he's saying, like, I miss you, or I don't have you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the case where this kind of song, a kind of song where the liner notes in a physical format would really help someone like me really feel the true like expression of the song versus just being a pretty song.
All right, so there's two things I could think about here to dovetail off what you said. I like both options. Like, I like to listen to a song and see if I feel it first. I don't need to know the lyrics. I need to know if I like the melody and the song first.
Yeah.
And then when I really like the song, then I look at the lyrics, and if the lyrics connect in a way, then it takes the song to a new level for me, right? So right. Lyrics aren't my first thing, but it is a critical thing in me attaching to a song. And it doesn't always have to be like all the lyrics have to say so much. It could be one line in the song that does enough for me, right? The other side of it is sometimes I'll get an album that I like, an older album that I'm just discovering, and I'll kind of look at the lyrics first before I even listen to the record, and I'll know one, two songs on the album maybe, and then I'm just sort of looking at other songs. I'm like, oh, this song has an interesting lyric. Like, this is about this dude, blah, blah, blah. And then when I get to that song, I already kind of am intrigued by the story and the lyrics, so I'm more apt to like it because I'm like, oh, this is cool. And even if I don't love the melody, I kind of already like the story, so maybe I'll give it another chance, or I'll spend more time with it. So that's the beauty of music again. And I know we geek out about this, but that's the whole point of the show. 24/7, this station is just music, and then for these 2 hours, we talk about it. And that's really, you know, you kind of just said it. Most people hear music at its core. Like, what is it? It's a song, a melody, it's beat, it's guitar. That's what needs to be good first. Then the lyrics come in. And I think this song is best. Like, look at what it's saying. It's a beautiful love song dressed up in this kind of sort of hazy, dreamy, psychedelic haze.
Yeah, it's that second mode of listening is exactly how I experienced it. The first time I heard it, it was just a song. Then I read your notes saying, okay, here's what it's saying and what it's about. Then I read the lyrics themselves. Then I listened to it again while reading the lyrics, and that's where it kind of sunk in. And so that second mode is what I think a lot of people on the radio don't get, right? If they're listening to Hi-Fi Dream, they get to hear this kind of fun, upbeat song that's kind of dreamy. But unless you really are sharp, you wouldn't have picked out the message. And so I guess my point is, if people are listening to this show and they want to now listen again, you can listen to it on Monday night if you hear it.
That's right.
Us talking about it on Sunday morning.
It's on at 10 o'clock on Monday night. The show replays.
So you can do the repeat and get the second mode of listening, or you can go listen to it online.
Cause we anywhere. Have, That's the nice thing about living in the world today. One of our best, I think, one of the best perks of living in modern age. Every song ever made is available to you if you want to hear it. I can't even remember the days when it was like, I don't have this song and I can't listen to it unless I own it. And that's why I bought so much music, because I wanted to listen when I wanted to listen. But now it's impossible to have it all. It is physically impossible to own. There's so much music, but it's always at your fingertips. So you don't even need to wait till tomorrow night. But of course, I would love it if you came back to listen a second time. This next set is going, this next song specifically is probably, you know, I always say there's a one song that's the most at its core, the representative of the station. This is it. This is the next song. Crystal Castle's Not in Love. I would not say Crystal Castle's represent the station perfectly. In fact, I would say Robert Smith is more representative of Hi-Fi Dream than Crystal Castle's.
But correct.
Both of those two together creates the perfect template for what I think this station is.
And I agree. And this is from 2010. So this is the, again, during a time where I did not hear this. I wouldn't have heard this because I was listening to Lunch Money. But this Crystal Castles, I chose a song from them previously on our show, but I didn't really know that this song existed, the featuring Robert Smith on vocals. And so I feel kind of, you know, a little bit dumb not knowing that this is so core to Hi-Fi Dream, but definitely I think I must have heard it on Hi-Fi Dream, because when I heard it this time around, I was like, wow, we need to talk about this one, because even if it is a Hi-Fi Dream song, like, why? And I think it also is worth noting that there's a history, I think, to the band Crystal Castles, that they broke up due to some like
allegations
of sexual advances from one member to the other, and it kind of soils like your thoughts about an artist. And I just wanted to bring that up a little bit, like people like Bill Cosby, right? Funny guy,
tarnished image,
lots of good material, But once you learn about their life choices and that if you don't agree with that or, you know, you get canceled, does that make you not appreciate the art that they've produced before you knew that?
Well, that's really what comes back to. I think you just kind of nailed it. Like, you have to make that determination. But is it fair to write someone off? R. Kelly's another example of that, right? Are you going to write off that you like his songs and not listen ever again because of his decisions as a human being, right or wrong, right? Which in his case, if he was guilty, then it's wrong. But Michael Jackson, I think most people have cognitive dissonance with Michael Jackson's situation. They still listen to him, even though they know what he's been suspected of doing. Which I don't know if everybody believes it or not, but like there's a lot of people who have spoken against, you know, what he did. You have to have cognitive dissonance because what they're accusing him of is one of the worst things you could possibly do. But we have no proof and he's dead. So it's like kind of like left alone and it's forgiven in a weird way. Not forgiven, but it's almost blocked out. But all these other guys like Kanye is a good example. Like he's crazy these days. I don't agree with anything he says. I don't want to hear him even talk, but I'm like, you know, he's a talented guy. It doesn't change that he's brilliant at what he does, or at least a lot of people believe that if you don't. I don't think there's any reason to be able to have to write. Most artists had something wrong with them. Van Gogh had something wrong with them. Beethoven, you know, all of these guys had a little bit of something weird or quirky about them anyway.
Yeah, I guess I'd try to draw a parallel in a different area, though, like sports. So if you, like Barry Bonds or Lance Armstrong, who, you know, performed amazingly and won awards and accolades, but then after finding out that they use performance-enhancing drugs or were dishonest, then they are stripped of those records and titles, right? They take the medals away. They take it off the record. And so that's kind of a line drawn there that, if you were there and you saw Lance riding up, you know, the steepest mountains and beating everybody and using tactics and strategy that were inspiring to me, but then to realize, you know, he was doping. And so it's like, where does it leave you? And even myself, I'm kind of contradicted as a cyclist about whether
that's a little different because it's a sport and that's cheating. Right?
It's competition, right?
Art doesn't you don't cheat at art. You have to create it.
That's a good point.
And I'm just saying, if somebody creates a piece of art that's amazing, whether it's like a sculpture or a painting or whatever, and then they do something later on in their life that is highly regrettable and people don't like them anymore, does that mean you can't say that's still a beautiful sculpture?
But what if they won a Grammy for it and made millions of dollars more than other people that year, right? There's a slight competition there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But again, it had nothing to do with the art itself. It had to do with the decisions he made as an artist. But I would say Crystal Castles, I don't think they're that great to begin with. I thought they had a very good run of like 10 years, 10 years where they were opening for Depeche Mode. And to me, it's a little too abrasive in its core, but they had moments that I really liked. There were certain songs they did that were like, wow, this is brilliant. You know, I love this. But I wouldn't say I'm a fan. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of Justice. Remember them? That song, D.A.
Yeah.
Even though they're world famous, one of the most popular electronic artists in the world, or Deadmau5. Like, these people mean nothing to me, but they're massively popular, you know? So that's the same thing with Crystal Castles to me.
I like their sound. I like some of their sound and the way they have a signature sound. They had a signature sound that is kind of like desperate, but like full, right?
And techno-y.
Techno-y, but then there was a kind of a feeling of like angst, but also a rush of like, hey, we need to quickly do something. Like there's an anticipation. This song, Not in Love, has that, and it captures, I think, the essence of Crystal Castles that makes them a little bit unique. But it's a very danceable song, like kind of ravey in a way. And what I like is the Robert Smith vocals. They're contrasting that sound, that really full-bodied sound, but with his voice and his style and singing. So it's an interesting like separation in the production of his voice and their sound. And to make this thing, and it's good. I like it.
Robert Smith keeps it from being an EDM song, in my opinion, because there's so much of that like screaming synth sound in here as the hook, when he's singing "I'm Not in Love," it's like but it's like heavy synthy,
raspy, very raspy,
almost riffs from synth. And if he's not on the song, I wouldn't like it. But because he's there, it makes it like a new wave meets techno. When I say techno, I mean like that hard, like the symphonic hits, like the riffs that are like symphonic and, you know, specifically rave and techno music had it in the 90s and even to the date, really. But I don't love them, but I have probably 8 or 10 songs on Hi-Fi Dream that I think do fit, and it's okay. And, but I know people love this sound. People like this sort of like edgy or dance sound. But thankfully, Robert Smith joins them and makes what I think is a perfect kind of like amalgamation of new wave and techno or EDM or whatever you want to call it. And then it's followed by a more recent band, been around a few years now, Jadu Heart, who I think are so underappreciated and genius. Every album is a complete masterpiece, but sounds nothing like the album before. So this is going to be a newer song from them called "You're Dead." I'm very eager to hear your thoughts on it. So let's do it. You ready?
Yep.
All right, Crystal Castles.
I saw your picture of my door. Won't give you my heart. No one lives there anymore. And we were lovers. Now we can't be friends. Fascination ends. Here we go again. Oh, 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 'cause it's cold outside.
Now downloading The Deep Dive.
I Dream the Deep Dive. We just finished Jadu Heart. The song is called You're Dead. It's a new single they just put up on their page or whatever, YouTube, Spotify, all those. Jadu Heart. Really interesting song. I love those guys, and I highly recommend them. If you're into, like, the band that comes to mind for me is Auto Lux right now, but there's a little bit electronic, a little bit of, like, that Radiohead glitchiness, a little bit of the typical, like, kind of rock structure, hip-hop. They are unbelievable, and every album is so different. Before that was Crystal Castles, Not in Love, which was Willis's pick, and they featured Robert Smith, which like kind of set us off very much on the path of Hi-Fi Dream. What did you think of the Jadu Heart?
So I just want to say, you mentioned in your notes that every album is its own. You said it's dressed in its own style clothing. I thought that was very poetic. I like that analogy. I might use that again in some other context. But I liked it. It was very different in that it starts off with kind of a drum and bass rhythm, but then it switches to live drums, and then it goes back and forth. And it's so the transitions are kind of psychedelic, and with the warm synths that really did give me that Radiohead vibe.
Totally.
And yet this is a brand new song, and looked up there from England, and they are a duo, a guy girl duo. But I liked it, and I could definitely see Greg, you like singing with them. Like, if they weren't in England, you should call them up and hang out, like do a session with them.
I it's guy girl. A lot of times you can't even tell which is which. That's another thing I like about him. It's almost what's the word? Androgynous,
yeah.
But what the album that kind of drew me from them was called Hyper Romance, which came out in the pandemic, which again, a lot of stuff kind of came on my radar around that time. And then they really followed up that album with an album called Derealized, which is really good. And I play a few of those songs on Hi-Fi. But that Hyper Romance album is like perfect. It's such a journey. And I know every week I kind of mention an album. It's like, oh, this album, listen to this. But that's right. The one for this week for me because it's so good. But they have a couple of new songs out, and they're all good. You're Dead, Post Romance, and You. All three of those songs are so good on their own. But this You're Dead song to me, it's really, if you want a good representation of the things I love about newer music today, that band is doing it. I really like that, where they've taken from influence wise, but also writing good songs. Those are good songs, melodic, catchy. They don't get boring. They're not like in a pocket.
Yeah.
But then they have like a little fuzz out jam at the end. I like that.
My to-do list of album listening, like, you know, very intent listening through the whole album, is getting longer and longer. I got through half of the Joe Jackson, I'm the Man.
Good.
Album. And also half of, Naked Eyes, because we talked about that last week or last show.
Yeah. I listened to the Naked Eyes full album the day we recorded last week. I listened to the whole thing again, and I was just like,
how'd
this
it go?
Is so good. Oh, it's fantastic. Every song is good. Album. Oh, it's good. Unbelievable. And I like Voices in My Head, which is the one you chose. I like it more than I ever did after that listen. But also this one, the Joe Jackson, the first side is where it's at anyway. So there's a chance to listen to that side.
It was great. And I think that, you know, it should be we need to bring this back. Like, everyone says, yeah, I used to listen to albums. Well, you can make time to listen to a whole album, but you do have to make that time and say, well, I'm not going to doom scroll on my phone for an hour, right? Like, you can do this.
I also recommend, while you're listening, color or draw. Even if you're not a good artist, or if you're not like just doing that, because it allows you to focus on something where you're not like needing to do something with your hands. Like I do on my phone sometimes. If I'm watching something, I'll go to my phone and start scrolling. Like I need the distraction. Color or draw, just doodle on paper like you used to do in class when you were bored. I'm telling you, just save the things you doodle or color some pictures and save those. It really allows you to listen to the album and focus in on it, while not being too caught up in like the boredom of sitting around. Cause that's what I think people have a hard time with. They feel like it's boring to sit and listen to a record.
Yeah.
For those I mean, of course.
Right. So if you engage your eyes, at least, like you can even read the lyrics or look at the album artwork.
Right.
It really helps to have the physical thing. So if you unless you buy the album, it is much harder to do this, to sit down and listen to it.
So the other side of it would be lay on the couch, put your headphones on, put your best pair of headphones on, and listen to it on YouTube or wherever you want to listen to the whole album. But giving it that time, giving it that that dedicated energy, it makes a big difference. You'll hear the music in a the way the artist intended for it to be heard, I guess. That would be the best way to put it. So, all right, last set, dude. Let's talk about this one. This one was very polarizing for me, and then it kind of like it came into focus.
It's so this is a big one for us and our family. This, there's a podcast that's still around today called The Story Pirates. And this is from 2018, though, this particular song called Star. And the whole thing about the podcast is they take submissions from kids of any age, and they'll and the story could be just like five lines. You can submit it on the website or mail it in, whatever. And any little kid, like a 1 year or one first grader, can send something in. They're going to take that story, if they like it, they're going to expand it into a larger story that they'll tell on the air and act it out with their like a cast of actors. And they also sing sometimes. So, and there's a lot of comedy that they build into this. And so it's like a variety show when it airs every week. And there's a lot of cliche, of course, because they're trying to be funny, entertaining to kids, but also adults. It's that whole idea of appealing to both kids and adults so that the adults will tune in and sit through it, but then keep the kids engaged somehow with these kind of cliches. And so when our kids were like 8 and 11 years old, we heard this song on the Story Pirates and we loved it because it's the story is from this first grader. It goes like this. There once was a star that wanted to be part of a constellation. She saw stars joining friends to be the Big Dipper and other constellations too. One day she found a group of stars and there was one spot left to make the tip of the constellation. Even though that was the hardest part, she still did it. It was easy for her. And that's the story. Mm-hmm. So these guys, this cast, took that and they turned it into this song that's kind of like a dance number, a dance track. And if they really had like full-on electronic, I bet it, and since it would be even better. But as it stands, they're using guitars.
It's
and
an acoustic
pianos.
Dance song. You know, they don't,
Right. They're using more like traditional rock instruments, which makes sense because they're a variety show. And so they kind of have to do a number of different genres. And so they did the best they could to make this kind of disco dance song that really appealed to us. And I think it's a catchy song and it fits the story. If you put yourself in that innocent perspective of a kid talking about a star joining a constellation, what that must feel like for a kid as a star, if you will.
Yeah, it's incredible how you just created that imagery in my head of being a kid. And I remember like the visceral reaction I'd get from certain things I'd see, and how I'd perceive or how I'd hear and absorb stories that were told to me. It's sort of visual, and I don't know. But this was interesting because I know Alicia loves Broadway show tunes.
Yes.
Your wife.
That's a big thing in our house. Yeah.
And to me, when I first heard this song, I'm like, oh, I could see why this is probably a hot ticket in your household. Because it has that feel to it. Like I'm sitting in a off-Broadway theater and a bunch of like sort of independent-minded off-Broadway people got together and did this like kind of really niched story. I liked it. It took me a second. It really did. Because I had to get past Broadway and then start appreciating it for what it was. And then I really appreciated it. This is nothing like I would ever listen to in my life.
No,
so.
And I'm glad you actually had the open mind to bring it in because it is different and it's not definitely not Hi-Fi Dream. And it was a risk to even put it on the show, but it's so significant to us that I felt I'd share it. And I did feel confident that if you're looking past the cliche, the variety show feel of it, it's still very well done and entertaining and has an emotion to it.
It took some stones putting this show song on, this show, because it's really like outside of the bounds of even the furthest parameters of Hi-Fi Dream. And yet it brings this whole show together based on what you've been doing conceptually. throughout. And I mean, anybody who listens and thinks to dismiss it because it sounds like a Broadway thing, like I might have, give it a minute, because it really does get infectious. I was dancing in my seat. That was not hyperbole on my sheet, on our document there. I was like kind of like bouncing around and like feeling it in a nice, playful way. So if you give it the chance, you'll find it. And it's well performed too. Everybody plays this well and sings it well in the song. So
yes,
that alone is like, it's not garbage in any way. So, and you really talk about making the furthest left-hand turn I can make from you. And I don't ever, I always tell you on the last song, I do not care if it goes far from what your vibe is, because I feel like this is my opportunity to drop something in. This is that Joe Jackson type song for me. Adam and the Ants, Adam Ant, as he became known. He had a big moment there in the early 80s. Goody Two Shoes was like massively popular. It was like one of his biggest hits. He had a bunch of them, but this was sort of like an early hit for him. And this is another one of the albums you could put on your list as one of the most influential of tribal kind of punk, post-punk records ever made. King of the Wild Frontier is the name of the album. And it's every song on it has a purpose, but it's got a tribal feel to it, which is like the whole theme of Adam and the Ants. The makeup, the sort of Native American, but singing on behalf of the Native, like sort of like what they were dealing with. So this is sort of from the perspective of Native Americans being told to leave. And it's cowboys and Indians, except it's done within post-punk. And it's got punk attitude, punk guitars, yelpy kind of vocals, but really melodic and so rhythmically advanced. The beats in the songs it's just so interesting and has a surf rock feel to it at the same time. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a smorgasbord. That's the best I can think of. I never gave these guys much listen. And I think it's because it was pretty early on in New Wave, 1979, this song comes from. I wasn't listening to much radio at nine. Like, I didn't have an Uncle Jimmy like you.
Right.
this song's got, like, it's catchy. Rebellious, kind of like a punk, like the rhythmic guitar of punk rock. Definitely hear that tribal drumming and the chanting. And I think it's like a little bit of throw in that little spaghetti Western tremolo on the guitar, that
Absolutely.
Little break there.
Yes.
And then there's like these whoops and hollers towards the end that sound like dogs barking. It's a fun song. I have no idea what it's about. Is it about being dogs or the symbolism of a dog?
No, I mean, if this is one, what? Like, if you really wanted to read the lyrics to the song, it's like multiple interpretations. You can take it as like a battle song.
Okay.
But then I take it as like the melody's beautiful and the verses. He's like, you know, you're not allowed. Ba, ba, ba. It's like this really, he's speaking literally about like a warrior and a battle and dog eat dog. Okay. But to me, it's an analogy for life, and like it could be a relationship with a person. It could be like, you know, that the theories of life, and it's, but you could take it for whatever you want, literal or not. But I don't take it as literal as a war song or a battle song. I take it as like, matter of fact, the melody overrides everything, but also the chorus of the song is like, it's doggy, 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 dog. Brush me, daddy-o. And then it's like,
yeah, what's that? What is the brush me part?
I don't know.
Because I'm a dog?
I don't know. But it's so catchy, and I sing along with it and like yelp along with it. Like I get really like emotional. But you mentioned my Uncle Jimmy and all his influence in my musical taste as a very young kid, mind you. I was a child, baby when this came out, 3 or 4 years old. And so I wasn't really hearing it as like an adult, but I was also like drawn to the sounds and the rhythms. And he was feeding me these bands at 4 or 5 years old. And that's how I became aware of them. And then that eventually turned into that counterculture, you know, non-mainstream music as I got older, because I was exposed to this. And I don't think people recognize how influential this music is.
I think we're going to have a future show about our uncles, because uncles have play a very important role in your upbringing.
I agree. I do it with my niece and nephews too.
Exactly. So we'll have an uncle show about uncles someday.
That'll be relatable to some people for sure. But anyway, this will be our last set. The Story Pirates. So I guess there is kind of a tie to Adam and the Ants, because they remind me of pirates.
Okay. All right.
The song is Star. That's Willis's choice. And then I end it with Dog Eat Dog by Adam and the Ants. And I think you'll love it if you really listen to that song. You and I are going to listen to this together. Everybody else, enjoy these last two songs. And the repeat performance will be 10 p.m. on Monday night. Otherwise, we'll see you back Sunday morning at 10 a.m. next week, right?
Right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Every night, stars shine bright to make pictures in the sky, shining their light on the earth below from their gallery on high. Stars pushing past, so to not be the last of their friends to join up for the night, leaving me here shining all alone while others make magic with light. But I am just a solitary star, not nearly as important as they are. To think what it would mean to be part of
artists that inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.